Morning, everyone. Oops. Just get myself sorted. So today's sermon is the first of a two-part series. I'm going to be looking at Jesus being fully God, and then next week Ben is going to be looking at Jesus being fully human. And I've titled my sermon today, does it work? Christmas, what's all the fuss about? And what I hope to do today is to get everyone in the mood for Christmas, to get everyone ready for the festivities to come. I want to set the scene for Christmas. There we go. But today, there aren't going to be any sprigs of holly. I'm pressing it. It's on at the side. It's flashing something. So there aren't going to be any sprigs of holly, shiny tinsel or fairy lights. There won't be Christmas trees. And there won't be room for Santa Claus. Unsurprisingly, and as Anne said this morning, this is not really what Christmas is about. And for John, the author of the passage, that's true. However, from John's perspective, Christmas is also not particularly about a pregnant lady on a donkey. It's not particularly about angels or frightened shepherds. It's not even particularly about a manger. Christmas is about Jesus coming, but for John, the story starts right at the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. No, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we see from verse 17 that the Word actually refers to Jesus. Again, as Anne said, and thankfully, I'm about to say it's not going to be heretical. So to make things easier, we could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is what Christmas is about, and hopefully this morning we will see this afresh for ourselves, and it will help us to keep our focus on the true meaning of Christmas this year. So I want to start looking at the passage, and what better place to start than in the middle. Verse 10 says, referring to Jesus, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now it's true to say that the world that John refers to here is the non-Christian world. It's those who refuse to accept Jesus. And his own who did not receive him refers to the Jewish people who did not accept him on the whole. So if I'm speaking today to a group of predominantly Christians, people who would profess to having recognized and received Jesus, why am I starting here? Well, I'd argue that, and I know it's often true for myself, we can take the Christmas story for granted. We know all the characters and the plot line. We know where it starts and where it ends. But do we really recognize the lead role, the main character? Do we really recognize who Jesus is? So I'm a physiotherapist and I work on a stroke rehab unit. I see a whole range of different patients coming through the ward over the months. And as much as we try to make our care patient-centered, when things are busy, it can be quite easy to lose sight of the people that we're treating. It can quickly become, well, let's go and see the chap in bed 1.2, the one with the left-sided weakness and the difficulty standing up. We'll go and see him, carry out a treatment session for half an hour, and then move on to the next one on the list. I might have recognized the patient. I might have received him onto my list for treatment. But do I truly understand who he is? do I realise that that's Mr. Jones, who's 85 years old, who's the father of three children. He's got seven grandchildren. He enjoys building and maintaining his own model railway, and is desperate to get better so that he can get back home to care for his wife, who has Alzheimer's. That is who the patient in bed 1.2 is, or at least a bit about him. And that is who I should be preparing treatment sessions for. And I think we can do the same with Jesus at Christmas. As Christians, we know that Jesus is God and he came to earth. But do we truly grasp the magnitude of what we're saying? Do we live our lives having truly taken to heart what that means? So what should we be recognising about Jesus? What is it about Jesus that we should marvel at? What does it mean for Jesus to be fully God? What is all the fuss about? So we're going to have a look at some of the points that are highlighted by John in the passage that we've heard read. The first one, Jesus was before everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is how our passage starts, and this is how everything starts. Now, Edward Rees, when he was putting together his chronological version of the King James Bible, he puts this verse right at the beginning. Before everything else, Jesus was. Before me, before you, before Moses, before Abraham, before Eve, and before Adam. Even before the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and before the mountains and the seas. All the way before creation, Jesus was. He was with God in the beginning. And John the Baptist testifies to this. He says, "He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me." Kind of sounds like a bit like one of those logic puzzles. You've got to try and work it out. It doesn't make sense at first. But that is how it was. Jesus came to earth at one point in history, but he was there before history began. Again, at work a few weeks ago, I was working with a patient, and thinking he would take it as a compliment, I said to him, "Oh, you look much, a few years younger after you've had your hair cut." And he really did. But he wasn't quite as pleased as I hoped he would be. He said, "Oh, right. But I've still got all the experience, you know." So looking young wasn't something he aspired to. He valued experience. And experience is invaluable. And I'm sure we've all got someone who we particularly like to have as a dinner party guest. For me, I'd like to have John Simpson, the BBC news correspondent, who has been round the world, reported from numerous war zones and dramatic international events. It would be amazing to hear some of the stories he could tell of his experiences. But are we amazed at Jesus' experience? Do we want to hear all that Jesus can tell us about the history of the universe? The baby born in Bethlehem had already seen it all. He'd been there and done it. He'd got the T-shirt. And he definitely looked a good few years younger than when he was born than he was. Jesus was there at the beginning, and Christmas is about him coming to earth, coming to live with us. What an amazing privilege. But Jesus wasn't just there before creation. Verse 3 says, "Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made that has been made." Jesus was the agent that enabled creation. It is thought that John chose to use the word, the designation, the Word, or Logos in Greek, because it would help his readers understand that kind of connection between Jesus and creation. It would be easy for them to follow the idea that through the Word, all things were made. Trouble is, it can be a bit harder for us to make that link. I don't know how many of you have been watching the new series of Planet Earth. If you haven't, you really should. Sunday evenings, 8 p.m., BBC One. Perfect time after 5:27. But a word of warning, you might find that by the end of the episode, you've got a bit of a dry throat, because if you're anything like me, I spend most of it gaping, my mouth gaping open, because I just can't believe what I'm seeing. If it's not racer snakes attacking iguanas, it's see-through frogs that look like their own frog spawn. If it's not a camouflaged gecko, it's dolphins in the jungle. Not got a picture of that, but that's not to mention, and there really were dolphins in the jungle. I was amazed. And that's not to mention the birds of paradise, the glow-in-the-dark caterpillars or the flying lizards. The programme just goes from one awe-inspiring creature to another in a breathless tour of the planet we live on. And all that we see, they're just the things we know about. The world that we live in is truly amazing. And all this was created through Jesus. Without Jesus, none of it would exist. And it's not just the natural world. Technology is ever advancing. New products are being developed. Old products are being upgraded. Children's Christmas lists abound with any number of weird and wonderful must-have toys. The list goes on and on. And if rumours are to be believed, right now there's an army of elves beavering away somewhere up north, making sure everything's ready for later on the 24th of December. But in all seriousness, whether it's the latest tech or the latest toys, if it wasn't for Jesus, none of it would be made. Your Christmas presents might have a label saying made in China or Taiwan or even the UK. But in truth, whatever it is, wherever it's made, all things are made through Jesus, the maker of everything. The designer of creation. This is who we're celebrating coming to earth at Christmas. And this fact makes the rejection by the world of Jesus more poignant. I wonder if any of you have had that experience when someone comes up to you and starts greeting you like a long-lost friend, and you've got no idea who they are. Maybe you have an inkling of who they might be, or maybe you don't, but you really can't place them or put a name to the face. It's embarrassing, and you feel really bad for that person. Or a more serious example, some people who have dementia or a brain injury lose the ability to recognize people. How must it feel to not be recognized by your wife or husband who you've been married to for over 50 years? Whether embarrassing or heartbreaking, how much worse for Jesus coming to the world that he created, that he lovingly formed, and he's not recognized by it? And consequently, how important is it for us to truly recognize who Jesus is and how all creation came into being through him? So Jesus was before everything and he made everything. The third aspect for us to truly recognize is that Jesus brings light and life to everyone. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone. This aspect is perhaps easier for us to remember at Christmas. Lights are everywhere at this time of year. Each time I drive home from work, I see another house with their arrangement of lights outside. There are lights around the windows, lights along rooftops, and of course, lights around trees. And sometimes you can see there's an unspoken competition between neighbours to have the most impressive light display. But this year, you can see Leicester City Council didn't do a very good job of their Christmas tree. Apparently, people described it as a disgrace and a joke. After struggling with tinsel that was too heavy, they gave it another go, but even then, someone described it as messy, like the decorations had just been aimed and fired from a cannon. I've not seen it for myself, but I mean, the picture doesn't look all that great. But according to the council, you can't please everyone. But however funny or messy or impressive the lights that we see around us this Christmas. They are just poor imitations of the true light. These lights always rely on electricity or maybe candles. They rely on wax. At some point, they will go out. The power will fail or the fuel will run out. The light Jesus brings just goes on shining. The light that Jesus brings has not and will not be overcome by darkness. But what is this light? It is not just the visible light that we've been talking about so far. It's more than that. It's more important than visible or even invisible light. This light is the light to our souls. It brings spiritual illumination, and without it, we're lost in spiritual darkness. It is a light that shows us the way to God, a light that brings life to all those who accept it. The light that Jesus brings shows us life as it's meant to be. This light is life, and that is what Jesus brings at Christmas. This is the whole purpose of John's gospel. He says later in the gospel that people might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, they might have life in his name. That's the purpose of his gospel. And that light, I think, is worth taking notice of this Christmas. So Jesus was before everything. He made everything. He brings light and he brings life. And all these things point to one thing, that Jesus is God. So what does this mean for us? Well, if we go back to where we started, the middle of the passage, we've talked about the world not recognizing Jesus, about his own people not receiving him. We've talked about how perhaps we don't recognize him fully. But so far we've missed out what it means for those who do recognize Jesus, for those of us who do say, yes, Jesus, you are God, even if we don't fully understand it. Verse 12, which can be seen as the central and most important verse of the passage, says that those people who accept him, Jesus gives the right to be the children of God. Children not born in any natural way, but born of God. The fact that Jesus is God means that we can have a relationship with God. Verse 18 says, no one has seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And the relationship that we can have is not just any old relationship. It is as close as that between a parent and a child. It amazes me when I'm playing with Joshua, my son. There's no boundaries or ideas of personal space. He's quite happy to be as close to me as he can. And most of the time, I'm happy with that too. He is at the stage where everything is going in his mouth. I found out the other day that even includes my nose. An interesting but slightly sloppy form of greeting, I thought. But the point is that because Jesus is God, and because he came to earth at Christmas, we can have that closeness of relationship with God, but hopefully without the slobber. But how can this be? John goes on to say in verse 14 that because Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us, we have seen the glory of God. And this is no small thing. The earthly Jesus reveals the glory of God to us. Jesus is the one and only Son who comes from the Father. He is the only one who could reveal God's glory to us because he came from the Father. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they built a tabernacle, and once they'd completed it, it was filled with the glory of God, but no one could enter it. That was how they related to the glory of God. Not even Moses could see the glory of God. In Exodus 34, verse 5 to 7, he had to be content with hearing God proclaim his name, thus revealing his essence to him. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And this same essence is revealed to us through Jesus. Verse 14 says, Jesus is full of grace and truth. The essence of Jesus is grace and truth. All that is in the name of the Lord revealed to Moses is also in the name of Jesus. By coming to earth, Jesus reveals God's salvation plan. Out of Jesus' fullness, out of Jesus' complete likeness to God, we have received grace. Grace in place of the law, grace through Jesus Christ. And only by being fully God could Jesus forgive our sins. The teachers of the law in Jesus' day knew this. When Jesus said he forgave the sins of a paralyzed man, the teachers shouted, "Blasphemy!" But Jesus asked them, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And he did. Jesus is God, and he has the power to forgive sins. Through the forgiveness of our sins, we are able to come into the closest relationship with God, to become children of God. And this is what we're celebrating at Christmas. The compassionate, gracious, faithful, loving, forgiving God coming to earth to forgive our sins and to make us his children. This is what all the fuss is about. So now, how do we react to this? What should we do in response? Well, it depends whether we have recognized and received Jesus or not. For anybody here today who's not a Christian, the challenge is to decide whether you want to recognize and receive Jesus or not. Jesus was there at the beginning of it all. He made everything. He brings light and life to the world. And he came to the earth to reveal the glory of God, to reveal God's love and God's forgiveness, and to give you the offer of being his child. Do you want to accept that? If this is something that you would like to do, or you'd like to talk more about, please do speak to me or to Richard or to any other of the other church leaders, or if you feel more comfortable, to a friend that you know who's a Christian. We'd be really pleased for you to be able to enjoy Christmas from a whole new perspective this year. And for those of us who are Christians, having recognized and received Jesus, the challenge is to not let it stop there. Jesus was there at the beginning of it all. He made everything. He brings light and life to the world. He came to the earth to reveal the glory of God, to reveal God's love and God's forgiveness, and to give you the offer of being his child. You've accepted that offer, but plenty of other people haven't. John the Baptist was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. If we have truly grasped the magnitude of what Jesus being fully God and coming to earth at Christmas means, then surely we too should want to be witnesses to that. And what a great time of year to be able to share this great news. So for everyone, this Christmas, let us recognize that the nativity story started long before Mary and Joseph set out for Bethlehem. It started at the beginning of it all. This Christmas, when we see all the presents around the tree, and let us recognize that nothing that has been made was made without Jesus. This Christmas, when we see the lights, let us recognize that Jesus brought life and light into the world. Jesus is fully God. He makes God known to us. Jesus brings grace that only God could bring to forgive our sins and to give us the right to be God's children. And all of this in a little baby in a manger in Bethlehem. This is the true meaning of Christmas. This is what all the fuss is about. So I just want you now to take some time to reflect and to respond to what you've heard, to what John has written in his passage that we've read today. What response do we need to make? You'll find on the chairs around you or somewhere, hopefully, a little kind of Christmas tag. If you want to take that and write down something on that that you want to do this Christmas, how will you make sure that you fully grasp the real meaning of Christmas? If you're not a Christian, how will you respond to Jesus? If you are a Christian, how will you witness to Jesus?